gentleman that does an outstanding job for the Advocate as a beat writer for the Pelicans, Christian Clark. And Christian, thanks for the time. We appreciate you joining us tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here with you guys this evening.
Interesting story today from CNBC.com about NBA executives and agents calling on the league to cancel the rest of the NBA season. It's been my experience that when pressure mounts, normally something results from it. It's pretty interesting that we've seen that, yet we haven't gotten any consensus from players. And Alvin Gentry said he wasn't sure today when asked that question. And obviously the facility can't open now until at least May 15th. What's your take on what's going to happen with this season if, in fact, there's going to be anything, including playoffs?
Yeah, so I would not put a whole lot of stock in that CNBC report. You guys probably saw like 2 seconds after that one got tweeted out, LeBron James just swatted it all the way away. He basically said that,
right,
you know, everyone I'm talking to, that, I mean, we're not hearing anything similar. And we also, you know LeBron is going to have a huge say in this. You know, the NBA Players Union is going to be, you know, consulted throughout all of this. Here's what I'd say. I mean, obviously, there's no consensus. Nobody knows for sure. What I would say, the people I've talked to, there is a confidence, a determination that there will be games in some capacity the rest of the season. But nobody, you know, nobody's going to go out there and say that themselves. I mean, nobody is confident enough, or they don't feel that there are enough medical advances and testing to go out on the record and say that. So I would just say, you know, optimism, but it's very guarded and quiet.
Wow. Christian, do you see a situation here, though, that the longer this thing goes, this thing will start to bubble over? And you know, it's been pretty easy for a lot of these guys. And in fact, I think the players are better situated to rock it out versus the owners, because they're losing so much right now. But do you see just down the road where they can finally just say, hey, we need to knock something out and get something done? Or is it going to be a constant threat? You know, I wonder how you can solve this thing.
Yeah. So Adam Silver did a conference call, I think last week, with some of the NBA media, and that was one of the questions he asked. Like, is there, you know, a specific date of, hey, if we don't have a plan by this date, is like we just say, look, the season is scrapped? And he said no. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, Silver said, and I've heard too, is, you know, the NBA is willing to push back the start of next season if it's able to salvage part of this season. So I think that's why, you know, we haven't really heard anything about, like, here's X date of when we have to have something ironed out by. And there's still, I guess, not that much urgency because the NBA still feels like it's got some time.
Visiting with Christian Clark of The Advocate, 260-1061 to join us. When last we checked, of course, the Pelicans were 28-36. They'd won two straight, and they were tied for 10th. In the Western Conference, 3.5 out of the final playoff spot behind Memphis. The schedule was favorable, including matchups with Memphis, but matchups with the Blazers, matchups with the Kings, the Spurs, all still remaining, and they were gaining ground and getting better. This was a team, I thought, that had at least a 40% chance of getting to that 8th spot,
sure,
and I certainly like their future. And yet, Christian, in a way, it wouldn't be the worst thing if they don't get to play the rest of their season and don't make the playoffs and get in the lottery with this very fine young nucleus they have.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to, if they're unable to play another game, I mean, the overwhelming odds that they're going to have a late lottery pick, probably either 12th or 13th, depending on how the tiebreaker goes with the Kings. You know, as it stands, they also have a very small chance of vaulting into the top four. I'd have to look it up, but I think it's like a 4 or 5% chance. So, you know, it's not great, but we saw them hit on incredible odds last year.
Sure.
So, yeah, they're definitely going to have a better pick. I mean, just their pick situation over the next 5 years is, you know, one of the most exciting things about kind of watching this team build. I mean, they have, you know, two pieces in Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, who they, I think, view as cornerstones kind of moving forward. And, you know, they have a lot of ammunition that they're going to get to use to continue to build around those guys over the next 5 years or so.
I know there have been some reports and different people are floating up different balloons and different things. Have you heard anything with regards to maybe if this goes too a little bit too long and which would go too far into the summer, that they would consider some sort of tournaments type situation, like a Final Four playoff to a Final Four situation format? Have you heard anything like that?
So, I mean, I've seen the idea of like a single elimination tournament or, you know, kind
right.
of a taking a March Madness idea, just from fans. I haven't, the people I've actually talked to work for teams and stuff and people around the league, I personally love that idea from just a pure entertainment perspective. I don't know, you know, how feasible it is just because, I mean, it's just not that many games. And
it does screw up the draft choice situation, doesn't it?
Yeah. I wonder how that would work if, you know, they would just take the records as they are and go with that in the draft. But I mean, I think the issue with the March, like the single elimination tournament or whatever, is just the number of games. I mean, I think they want to recoup every single dollar that they can. I mean, they're, you know, getting hurt like a lot of every other industry in the United States right now. I mean, I think they want to just have as many games as possible. And I would be surprised if they're playing best of seven series, but I would also be surprised if it just, you know, comes down to one game. I mean, maybe you could see like a play-in tournament to determine some of those like last playoff spots, but I certainly don't see as you get deeper into the postseason of them, you know, doing a single elimination type thing or anything like that.
Visiting with Christian Clark of The Advocate. Alvin Gentry said it would take, what, 20 to 30 days to really prepare to play again. That would seem to be, I think, right on target, and for that matter, Major League Baseball would likely be about the same, about 20 to 30 days. That seems reasonable, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that timeline makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think, you know, the medical people will tell you that, you know, the longer that they're not playing, the longer that they'll need. If they are able to, you know, get back and, like, do team activity and scrimmage, I don't think that the medical people will probably get as long as they want, but I think there's just going to have to be, you know, some agreement and kind of meeting in the middle, just because it's such a weird situation. But yeah, I would 20 to 30 days. That seems like, you know, a pretty realistic timeline. I mean, I would predict probably closer to 20 than 30, but that makes some sense.
You know, Ken, I wonder if the NBA is going to be in a situation where most of the league would be ready to go, and yet you're dealing with the elephant in the room of the New York franchises, the New Orleans franchise, Detroit, and things like that. So that's another fly in the ointment, too.
Well, I think there would be contingencies for that, and certainly playing road games, although not advantageous, would likely come into play if that occurs.
Right.
Christian, I would imagine they have contingencies in place considering the differences in a lot of these marketplaces with regard to COVID-19.
You would imagine what? I'm sorry.
I said I would imagine they have contingencies in place for the differences in these marketplaces where the COVID-19 pandemic is much more applicable, such as the New York market, such as New Jersey, such as New Orleans, for instance, as compared to other markets. So as a result, I got to believe the league has contingencies in place if they know they can't play games in those particular markets.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And I think that, you know, the bubble idea or, you know, finishing the season as a centralized location, I mean, I think there is some credence to that, you know, whether it's them, like, renting out a casino and hotel in Las Vegas or maybe even, you know, Walt Disney Resort in Orlando. There's been kind of some buzz about the Orlando facility, and, you know, there are a lot of questions, but I think that would make some sense.
And then, of course, with this core group that you have now, you mentioned Ingram and Zion obviously being cornerstones, but Lonzo Ball looks like he's played his way right into that. When we saw him healthy, we saw him being a true point guard that could absolutely lead this team. Great dribble penetrator, great vision on the floor, improved his shot a bit, and a pretty good on-the-ball defender when he wants to be. And then, of course, Josh Hart, with the energy he brings on a night-to-night basis, certainly a guy that you have to look forward to having in the future. And, of course, you got a young center that, you know, or power forward, call him what you will, out of Texas that's 19 years old, figures to fill out, get stronger. But as you look at the core moving forward, what's their biggest need that you see? Is it a physical presence, a rim protector inside?
I think that's a really interesting question. The number one thing I'm looking for this offseason, whenever it might be, is what are they going to do at center? Because Jackson Hayes is a very interesting prospect, but I think it's pretty clear that he's not ready to step in and be the starting center. This team, you know, they're two completely different teams when Derek Favors was in the lineup and healthy, and when Derek Favors was not in the lineup. I mean, you know, center is just such an important position defensively, and you know, I think Favors did a lot of the stuff that didn't show up on the stat sheet, but I mean, he's almost playing like center field in kind of the pick and roll, and they just cover up mistakes in very subtle ways. So, you know, I could see them trying to, you know, bring back Favors for like the mid-level exception, I think. But you know, I think I just don't think you can go into next season, you know, counting on Jackson Hayes to be your starting center, nor do I think the Pelicans would do that.
Agreed.
Let me ask you a question. With value of what is possible to move something, looking for some extra talent, as much as we love him and as much as he contributes, is Drew a question in possible movement down the road?
I mean, you know, whenever people kind of ask me about, like, is so-and-so, you know, a candidate to get moved. I mean, everyone but Zion and Ingram is a candidate to get moved for the right price, I would say.
That's a way to say it.
But, yeah, I think, you know, if you know, David Griffin got a really good deal, then I think he would definitely look long and hard at it. I mean, Jrue Holiday is a really good player, but he also has, you know, 1 year remaining. It's a pretty big figure, you know, $25 million. Then he can opt out after that, you know, if you know, you can sacrifice that 1 year of Drew and really get some nice supporting pieces long term next to your Zion and Ingram core, then I think that's a deal they would think about. I just think they would have to get, you know, a deal they really loved. I mean, I think there is opportunities to trade deadline, and they could have, but they just didn't like what was being offered.
Correct. I agree with that. And of course, with Favors, solid veteran presence, not a great player, a solid player. You can't upgrade there, but you've got a solid player that fits in well. And the same thing holds true, you know, for their other veteran guard who was shooting the ball tremendously well, just what they signed him for, and providing leadership before he got hurt. And I think they really like all three of those veterans. And in some way, shape, or form, they'd like to keep them. But I agree with you. I think if the time and place arrived where they could get the right deal, they'd certainly move any one of those guys.
It's just such an interesting team. I mean, you hit on Lonzo Ball, but there's so many interesting pieces, even beyond you know, the obvious ones, Zion and Ingram. This was my first season doing this full time, and it was very much a roller coaster ride to go to the old cliche, but it was also a lot of fun.